Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Judge not, that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove this speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your eye, your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the doves, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces.
All right, a couple of quick announcements before I get into the lesson. One, as you can tell from the makeshift projector, we had a little technical problem. I think the bigger projector has gone out. I don't know if that's permanent, but anyway, bear with that this morning. Secondly, someone left these keys downstairs. You should recognize them. I'm not sure anyone else in here would have keys that would look exactly like this, but I'm going to put them up here, and anyway, I'll make sure that they're at the back of the building following services. In the bulletin, let me make a slight correction. The Friday night class is indeed this coming Friday night, as the bulletin says, but it's the 14th, obviously not the 13th, so please don't come on Thursday. I'll be elsewhere, and so I won't even be here to have a class with you. But anyway, and finally, on a serious note, I'm sure that you have noticed all the work that's been done downstairs. It looks really nice down there. Ed Jinks Jr. spent a number of hours and several days working on all of that. So if you get a chance, tell him how good it looks and that you appreciate it. I've heard a lot of compliments that have been given. People have made comments to me, but please do make them to him, because that's a lot of work and it does really look good down there. All right, to get into the lesson this morning, I was asked to do a lesson on this passage in Matthew 7, and I had actually done a class downstairs several weeks, a couple months back, on this very idea, and then it came up, I think, in a discussion, a private discussion, and so someone wanted me to just address this whole idea of judging. And so I want to take a look at it this morning. As Ekong read a moment ago in Matthew 7, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. So let's talk about it. And you'll notice the title of the lesson this morning, Do Judge, Don't Judge. What does that mean? Is that one or the other? What does it mean? Certainly one of the most commonly quoted biblical passages, precepts, ideas, is this idea of judge not. And it usually comes out from people when someone has reprimanded another, or whatever it might be. It can be on a talk show or whatever, but you can, if you turn on the television, you could about hear someone say this every day. Don't judge, or usually it comes out, don't judge me. And that usually comes when someone is disagreeing with another individual. I don't agree with what you do, or I don't believe in this action you're taking, or whatever it might be. Don't judge, don't judge me. And yet, Jesus did teach us not to judge. Ekong just read the passage, judge not, Jesus opens up. And that's usually as far as anyone gets in this passage. I think it would surprise many people to learn, especially those that are very quick to sort of draw that, you know, like a fast gun move in the Old West, don't judge, or the Bible says don't judge. I think a lot of people would be really surprised to learn that, yes, Jesus taught judge not, but he also taught us to judge. And when you look at these biblical passages, I believe you see that. So let's take a further look at Matthew chapter 7. Now, Ekong read it, but let's look at it very carefully. Judge not that you be not judged. That sounds like a blanket statement. Never make a judgment about anything, perhaps about anyone, certainly. Never make a judgment. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. And the following verses really show you that, even in this passage. Someone might say, oh, you're going to go to a lot of other passages. Well, I am going to go to several others. But I think you could stay right here and show that that is not, that Jesus does not mean never make a judgment, never pass judgment. I heard someone say it like this. What Jesus teaches is that we never pass judgment on someone else. That's just not true. Look at this passage carefully and notice what Jesus says. For, and when I was in school, I always had a professor that would read it about like that. For, and when you see for, and we would always repeat back to him, look to see what it's there for, right? And so Jesus said, for, with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. So the point is, just like if we were to turn to James 1, I show you a similar construction in the Bible like this. Be not many teachers. Is God saying he doesn't want teachers? No. But he does go on to say, for teachers receive a greater condemnation. When you're a teacher and when you accept that responsibility, you also accept the responsibility that God is going to hold you accountable for what you teach. So if I want to be a preacher, and I want to be a preacher, obviously, then God is going to hold me accountable for standing up here and teaching the truth. So the point is, be not many teachers doesn't mean God doesn't want teaching. And judge not does not mean God does not want judging. It's just that God wants a certain kind of judging. Notice as he goes on to say, you are going to be held accountable for the judging you do. What judgment you judge, you will be judged. What measure you meet, the King James says, or how you measure others, is how you're going to be measured. Now that really is taught in a number of places. Jesus uses that precept because in his day, you had these very arrogant people, the Pharisees in particular, and a lot of them happened to be, or at least a lot of the scribes or teachers of the day, happened to be Pharisees. And they were very much in the habit of passing judgment and judging other people and being critical of other people and even hypercritical of other people, but not looking at self. If you want, not looking at the man in the mirror. They looked at everyone else and judged everyone else, and they found fault with everyone else, but not with themselves. And Jesus is pointing out here, as he does in many passages, the way you judge is how you're going to be judged. So in other words, it is a very natural thing. And I don't believe there's a single individual in here, if you're very old at all, that has not judged something about someone else. It's natural. It is human. And if you will, it is because we are made in the image of God. God judges. We have the natural tendency to do that as well. However, God fairly judges, equitably judges, always. We don't. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Notice as he goes on in this whole thing, we all know this part, and even many people, many, many people in the world know this part. Why do you behold, and the King James says, the mote, or the speck, or whatever, the splinter, some translations even say, that's in your brother's eye. But you don't consider the beam, the huge block of wood in your own. You know what he's saying there. We can get nitpicky about what's wrong with other people, can't we? But when it comes to self, many people don't even look in the mirror to find the faults. And if they do look in the mirror, they're like James 1 talks about, and they quickly go away from the mirror and forget the faults. When God would say, you need to look at yourself and make a judgment, again, about what is wrong with you, and you need to remove that. And then you can clearly see, as God does, clearly see every little thing that's wrong with someone else. Or how do you say to your brother, verse 4, let me remove or pull out the mote, the little speck. I see it. You know, we do that sometimes. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever gotten anything in your eye, but I expect all of us have. And you go up to somebody and you're like, man, this is driving me crazy. Can you see anything in my eye? Oh, yeah, I see it right there. And they take a little tissue or whatever and they get it out. Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. How do you say to your brother, let me pull that mote out of your eye, but notice, again, the beam is still in your eye? What about that huge problem in your life? In verse 5, here's the problem with this passage, and here's the problem with this kind of judgment. You're a hypocrite. It's hypocrisy. For me to look down at other people, for me to look at other people and judge them harshly about what they do, even if it's right, and not consider what's wrong with me. Well, that's hypocritical. And so Jesus says, first cast out the beam that's in your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote that's in your brother's eye. Now let me make a point here. Some have reasoned from what Jesus says in verse 5. And I want you to listen carefully to this. That you can never make a judgment about another individual until you're perfect. Until you've cleared out everything in your life, you are not licensed by God. You're not free by God. What Jesus is saying here is you cannot, without being a hypocrite, ever point out something wrong in another. Now, is that what Jesus is saying? I don't think so. I think Jesus is saying, and I think it comes down to exactly what Jesus says. So let's listen to everything he says. First of all, it's a matter of equity here. What you're pointing out, you're not just pointing out a huge problem in your brother's life. You're pointing out a tiny speck. And we can do that. We can look at people. The best of people have problems. And we can find those problems. And if we look at them close enough, or we live with them long enough, or we're around them enough, we can find a lot of those problems. And glaringly, we have huge problems in our life. Now, one of the whole points of the man in the mirror is, I want to spend some time looking at Michael White in the mirror of God's Word. I want that to reflect back to me what I need to change. I'm focusing on me, and I'm making the differences in my life. Those are the beams. When I look at the mirror and I see those problems and they're there and they're there every day and they're there to the point that I really need to spend time addressing those things and do something about them. That's the point Jesus is making. If you never do that, then don't go out finding the little things wrong with everybody else because you're a hypocrite. But Jesus is not saying if you are attending to those things, you cannot be aware of huge problems, etc., in other people's life. Notice as he goes on to say in verse 6, right behind it, give not that which is holy unto dogs. Do you have to look at an individual and assess them to be a dog? Do you have to make a judgment that that person is a dog? You do. Notice as he goes on to say, neither cast your pearls before swine. Do you have to pass judgment? Do you have to make a judgment that someone is swine? You do. And if you want to understand dogs and swine, we look at how those words are used. We are talking about evil people. We're talking about people that are hopeless. We're talking about people that either A, completely waste our time so that we would be like the Apostle Paul and others, Silas, etc., who brushed the dust off their feet in Acts 17 and moved on. Because you people, they judged them. They were not worthy of the gospel. They didn't cast their pearls before swine. They didn't give what was holy, the word of God, to dogs. They made a judgment and they acted on it. And Jesus is telling us here to do just that. The second reason is because evil people, dogs, swine, will take even the good you give them and they'll turn it on you and hurt you. You ever been abused by someone because you tried to help them? And people saying, oh, no, not me. And they've been through it. We all have. You try to do good for someone, you try to help someone, and they trample you with the good you do. Jesus said, you need to make a judgment and be more careful about that. Now notice an alternate passage. Turn over with me to John chapter 7. This is in fact what we're supposed to do. Not be hypocrites, not running around making hypocritical judgments, but exactly like Jesus said here. Now this was an occasion, and we should understand, where Jesus has been out and he's been doing what he does. He's been healing people, and he has even been healing some people on the Sabbath day. Which to that Pharisee, that hypocrite, is just a cardinal sin. Now Jesus is confronted by a number of people, but even here by officials that are sent to confront him. And in the midst of all of this, this is what Jesus says. And I'm in chapter 6. There we go. Chapter 7. Look down with me, if you will, at verse 24. But to get the context, read verse 23 with me. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that's what we're talking about. Look at verse 24. Judge not, just like he has said in Matthew 7. But notice Jesus adds something here. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I'm going to tell you a little story here. I heard it. Oh, I hadn't been preaching even a year, month, just a few months at the first place I was full time, quote unquote, all of that. But someone told me a story of a fellow preacher. Now, here's what happened. Small town, it's 35 years ago. Small town, and the preacher in that town, the preacher for the local church, he's driving his old jalopy, his old car, and the car breaks down. And it breaks down right in front of a member of the church's house. In fact, she was a married member of the church. And so the car breaks down. He knows the sister lives there. He knows the family lives there. He goes up, knocks on the door, says, my car's broken down right down the street. Can I roll it into the driveway and I'll get out here tomorrow morning and pick it up? Sure you can. He does that, calls a taxi or whatever. Somehow he got home. And when he got home, he spent the night, and he came back, got the car the next morning, like he said. In the meantime, a couple of good sisters of the congregation had driven by. And they saw the preacher's car at this woman's house. Now, for whatever reason, I remember all the details a long time ago, but the husband wasn't there, and they knew it. So they monitored the house. They set up a watch like good Christians would do, and they watched to see if that car stayed there all night long. And they would come back periodically, and lo and behold, it stayed there all night, and they even saw the preacher leaving out of the house the next morning. Of course, he was walking out because he was waiting on the wrecker to come picking up the car, right? So they even see the preacher outside on the front porch, and in their minds, he'd just come out of the house after spending the night with the woman. You know what happens from there. I want you to look at this passage again. Judge not according to the appearance. They were sure he had spent the night with the woman. And by the time the truth came out, many, many, many people knew the story. They didn't know the retraction, but they knew the story. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. It's a serious thing to pass judgment. If I'm going to accuse someone, if I'm going to say that person just committed adultery, I need to know the facts. I need to know if that's what he really did. Because it's a serious thing to pass judgment. Jesus is condemning making uninformed judgments. Passing judgment when you don't know the facts. You think you do. If you think you know the facts, especially about something that serious, then you need to find out for sure. You ask questions. You determine that it is so. And then you may pass judgment. But don't judge according to the appearance. And don't judge matters that are not of your concern. In other words, that's a polite way of saying if it ain't any of your business, stay out of it. But you know, in this passage, that's exactly what you've got here. And what Jesus is saying, go back to verse 21. Jesus answers and says to them after they begin to question him and so forth, I've done one work, and I believe he's referring to the healing of the man in chapter 5. He did it on the Sabbath day. I've done one work, and you all marvel. It's an amazing thing to you. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath. Remember, it's the eighth day. If the eighth day came on a Sabbath, that didn't matter. Circumcision took precedence. It's a good work to be done on the Sabbath day, so you circumcise on the Sabbath day. It's a work, but it's a good work. And he said, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, verse 23, are you angry at me because I made a man whole? You cut away skin, do work on the Sabbath day to obey the law of God. I do a good work and make a man whole, healed on the Sabbath day. And you seek to kill me. Is that righteous judgment? Jesus is condemning this kind of judgment, but not all judgment. So what we're left with is both of these passages really, and I think we can see. Both of these passages are condemning certain kinds of judgments, and both of these passages are not just allowing, but commanding certain kinds of judgments. So what we are left with is do judge, don't judge. Let me very quickly read through a handful of passages. Go with me to the book of Luke, and I'm going to read two or three out of the book of Luke. Look at Luke chapter 6, and notice something Jesus says here. Now, this is perhaps a parallel passage, or perhaps another incident, and I think it is, where Jesus says some of the same things he says in Matthew 7. Read with me in Luke 6, verse 37. But I want you to listen to some of the other things he says in conjunction with don't judge. So listen to this carefully. Start in verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. That's God's business. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Maybe there's a little mercy that needs to go, a little giving that needs to go on with our passing of judgment. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, you see how he went further than he did in Matthew 7? With the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable unto them. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Here's that idea of what's in your eye that's obscuring your judgment you make of other people. Can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. And that's something I need to always remember when I'm taking it upon myself to pass judgment. I am not greater than God. When I've condemned someone and usurped the position of God in that matter, disregarded everything that God would regard with respect to it, that's a very dangerous thing. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Why do you behold the mote, the speck, the splinter that's in your brother's eye, but you don't perceive, you don't even recognize the beam that's in your own? Notice how Jesus is telling us not to be a hypocrite. So verse 42, either how can you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that's in your eye, when you yourself behold, not even, behold, the beam that's in your own eye. You hypocrite. Cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and you can see clearly to pull the mote out of your brother's eye. Look at Luke chapter 12. And this is interesting the way he says it here. Right at the end of Luke 12. And I really would encourage you to go home and read all of Luke 12. It's an extremely interesting passage. But down in verse 54, he said to all the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower. And so it is. Don't we all do that? We look out, wow, it looks like rain. We're able to do that. We make a judgment. It's going to rain. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there's going to be heat. And it comes to pass. You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you cannot discern this time? Why can't you look at things the way they are if you can see other things like that? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you judge not what is right? Notice how Jesus is saying, you need to be judging people. You need to be the people that can make judgments. And you need to judge what is right, not just always what's wrong. You know, that's the point. That's our responsibility. Judge righteous judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, here's a hefty responsibility given to the church, but expected that they carry it out. Those of you in the Wendy study on 1 Corinthians, remember Wes taught this just a couple of weeks ago. But notice these things in chapters 5 and 6. And I'm not going to spend long here, but remember this was a church, and a member of the church had his own father's wife and was committing adultery with her. Why is it that people can overlook and not make judgments about certain things that certain people do? What goes into that? Do we not recognize perhaps the prejudice that's within us to accept the sin in one person and condemn it in another? Do we not recognize the wanting to have advantage so that certain people, if they can profit us, we let it slide? Those kinds of things are considered by God beams, huge things that cloud our judgment. They were supposed to judge this situation and say, that's not right. Even the Gentiles, Paul said, can look at something like this and say, that's not right. Why can't you? You're supposed to be people of a discerning nature. Why can't you? Going back to the book of Luke, and you look at verses 13 and 14, that same chapter in Luke 12. Look at verses 13 and 14. Here's what we get caught up in, though. You remember, Jesus is talking here, teaching here. And all of a sudden, a dude runs up to him in verse 13. One of the company said, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. So in other words, Jesus, I want you to stop your important teaching here, and I want you to settle this family dispute. Jesus looked at him and said what I'm inclined many, many, many times to say to people. Man, who made me a judge? I'm not your judge. In fact, in this situation, God will ultimately be your judge. But you should, the two of you, be able to judge this matter. Who made me a judge or a divider over you? What Jesus is saying and what we need to learn to recognize with people is, it's none of my business. I don't want to be dragged into this situation. I don't want to be part of it. I'm not going to be part of it. You should be able to settle this. I'm not your judge. And when people come to me sometimes, you know, I will tell them, and I will preface up front what I say. I say, you know, I'll teach you, I'll tell you, I'll read with you what God says. And then you are going to have to make the judgment. And what I find most times is, just reading a passage, you see that look on someone's face, and they knew the judgment already. They knew the truth. Finally, Acts chapter 4, verse 19. You remember the apostles, Peter and John, are called in by the council? And they're commanded, they're ordered, don't teach about Jesus anymore. And Peter makes a statement to them and says, whether it's right in the sight of God, you judge. You know, sometimes people are very quick. Let's go back to what we started with. Don't judge me. When really what you're doing is you're perhaps reading something or saying something from even the Word of God. What we should be saying to these people that are screaming, don't judge or don't judge me, is whether it's right in God's sight, you judge it. Because God is going to judge it. And that's exactly what Peter is saying there. One final one. And we hear Bill a lot of times and others read from 1 Corinthians 11 and mention this passage. And I want you to read it together with me if you're still in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 11, this is when we take the Lord's Supper. And it becomes just a good time for a lot of people to kind of look in the mirror, if you will, reflect on their life. Beginning in verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat the bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," or in an unworthy manner, "shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." Let a man look at himself, judge himself. "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, he eats and drinks damnation," or condemnation, "to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many among you," he's saying, "are weak and sickly, and some are even spiritually dead." Verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, that's what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 7. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, if you look at yourself and you judge yourself to need God, then make that commitment to Him this morning. Come to Him and confess your belief in Him. Be willing to change, willing to repent, and be baptized for forgiveness of all your sins. And if you're here today and you look at yourself and you say, you know, I'm one of those people. I know it's natural, but I seem to be one of those that's able to look around me and find what's wrong with everybody. But I don't spend enough time looking at me. I don't want to be judged by God for that. I know that I need God's help. Yes, I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized, but I need God's help. You can ask for us to pray together with you, and we would love to do that. Please come while Paul leads us in the sanctuary.